This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup, a wrap-up of the week with background and analysis from the correspondents who cover the news. And now from Washington, here's CBS News national correspondent Dan Revie.
With a special edition reliving and examining the Minneapolis bridge collapse, a disaster that we certainly hope is very rare.
It felt scary. I mean, I had a little kid next to me, and all I thought of was, like, grabbing him so nothing would happen to him.
I actually landed. I was above the bridge that I was on was above shore, and I completely did a nosedive. The whole bridge gave out. Thank God I was wearing my seatbelt. I know I would have went through the windshield. There was a school bus right next to me, and me and a bunch of other guys had to lift the kids off the school bus, bleeding, screaming, broken bones. It was just unbelievable.
It happened just after 6 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. A bridge across the Mississippi River that's part of an interstate, Route 35W, rumbled and broke with no warning. And as we'll discuss in a few minutes, just over one-fourth of all the long bridges in this country, over 100,000 bridges, are officially rated structurally deficient. Many are being reinspected now. Let's go to CBS Evening News anchor Katie Couric in Minneapolis with citizens who can hardly believe what they saw, heard, and felt.
The center median went this way, and I looked down. I just went to the right, then the whole thing fell down.
Just collapsed as cars flew everywhere.
They were commuters coming home from work.
So I was thinking I was dying.
Twins fans heading to the ball game.
They were all screaming, "We're going to go in the river, we're going to go in the river."
A busload of young children returning from a day at a water park.
We had to get those children off because they were about 8 feet up in the air from the surface of the street that I was on up onto the bridge deck that had collapsed.
The bridge that spanned 1,900 feet and stood 64 feet high for 40 years fell in just seconds. It began when the very center collapsed. Then both ends tipped away from the river and secondary sections fell one after the other. The casualty count might have been higher had four lanes not been closed for repaving. But was this an accident waiting to happen? The Department of Transportation deemed the bridge structurally deficient in a 2005 review. Another report by the University of Minnesota in 2001 cited fatigue problems, but only recommended regular inspections.
Adele, it's Lori. If you're okay, please call me.
The hours after the collapse were excruciating for sisters Rhonda Knutson and Lori Thistle, waiting to hear the fate of their younger sister, Adele.
Can you tell me what today, what the night has been like for you?
Frustrating and hell. I just want to go see if you're all right. We've been to the hospitals, we've been to the police, we've been to the morgue, we've been to their place, we've been here twice. Really hard.
For others, knowing what happened was even harder.
An individual was severely injured and was talking to medical personnel and was able to say his goodbyes to his family and will be passed on.
After a night of unimaginable anxiety, Lori and Rhonda refused to give in to the worst.
But I gotta believe that's all I have right now. So I'm holding on to that.
We're happy to say Adele did survive. That report from Katie Couric. Now, was this bridge dangerous? Now we know it was. Here's Ben Tracy of WCCO-TV.
When the 35W bridge was built 40 years ago, it was state-of-the-art, a massive steel arch spanning the mighty Mississippi. But the bridge was designed without the extra support common to later designs, which meant if one component failed, the whole bridge was likely to fall. 6 years ago, researchers at the University of Minnesota determined that parts of the metal structure were stressed, but concluded there is no need to prematurely replace this bridge, avoiding the high costs associated with such a project. 2 years ago, when the federal government called the bridge SD, or structurally deficient, it rated just a 4 on a scale of 9. That meant advanced deterioration and connection failure may be imminent.
It was a disaster waiting to happen.
Len Levine is a former Minnesota Transportation Commissioner.
How big of a red flag should this report have been?
It scares me to hear it right now.
Levine doesn't blame the inspectors, but rather a lack of funding that has delayed repairs.
You can't put a Band-Aid on a cancer. The whole lifeline of our communities depend on transportation.
We'll have more on America's bridges. Are they safe? Coming up. First, a tale of heroism. If you saw the broken bridge with vehicles on it, some for a while were on fire. You probably noticed a yellow school bus on a section that had dropped suddenly. The bus with 52 children and 9 adults on a day camp outing was remarkably upright on its tires, but the kids were panicking. With more in Minneapolis, CBS's Tracy Smith.
Jeremy Hernandez went from camp counselor to hero in one afternoon.
I just heard a big bang, and I thought we were in a car accident. But then I felt the bus going down because I felt like I was going over the seat.
He was riding with other counselors and 52 kids from an inner-city summer camp. The bus was headed south in traffic at about 10 miles an hour and had just crossed the river when the bridge collapsed. 6-year-old Samara Washington and her 4-year-old sister Josette said the noise was unbearable.
Everybody was crying on the bus.
Everybody was crying? Were you crying, Samara? Why were you crying?
Because I was scared.
8-year-old Luis Aragon was scared, too.
Everybody was, like, screaming, you know, and I was like, I'm going to die.
Is that what you thought, Luis, that you were going to die?
Jeremy wasn't about to let that happen.
I looked over at the river. And then my heart started beating fast, and I just jumped over the seats, and I opened the back of the door, and I kicked the coolers out, and then I turned around and tried to throw kids off of the bus.
Jeremy kicked the door down.
Jeremy? Did Jeremy save you? Yeah.
But Jeremy didn't act alone.
I could see the whole bridge in front of me, and I saw the whole bridge fall, and then I was falling.
Gary Babineau's truck plowed into the concrete pit. He escaped and immediately ran to the bus to help get the kids out.
They needed my help. I could hear them screaming. You can't just, you know, run away from a whole school bus full of kids screaming, you know.
Still, Jeremy says he and the rest of the people on that bus were lucky.
If we would have been a little bit faster or a little bit later, we could have either been in the river or crushed by that block of cement.
Instead, Martha Roberson got to see her granddaughters again.
I had a glow like it was an angel. It just brought them back to us.
That report by CBS News correspondent Tracy Smith. Let's turn to CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick. You rushed to Minneapolis, and, well, what did you see when you got there?
It was hard to believe, Dan, that a bridge had even been in place in this spot. From my vantage point, you could barely even see what remained of it, but you could see some twisted steel and concrete down in the river. A very devastating scene. There were other people at this same vantage point looking at the same scene I was and saying, it's hard to believe it was ever even there.
We'll continue with Cammy McCormick in a moment.
There are some unbelievable testimonials and stories, people that were pinned, people that were partly crushed. It was an amazing, amazing scene.
More coming.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. Once again, here's Dan Revie.
More now on Wednesday evening's bridge collapse in Minneapolis.
We were on the bus coming back from the field trip. We're going across the river, and all you heard was boom, boom, and then the bus started rattling and shaking. The kids were bouncing over the seats. And then it just stopped, boom, and then the car behind, on the side of us crashed, boom, and the smoke cleared, and you could see the bridge was falling apart, and the bus was sliding back. And all the kids were screaming, they didn't know what to do, so I jumped over the seats, unlocked the back door, and escorted everybody off through the back door.
Jeremy Hernandez hailed as the hero of the school bus that was on the bridge. Let's go back to CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick in Minneapolis. So many people say it was a regular route for them. 35W over the river, didn't give it a second thought.
Right. This is a very heavily trafficked bridge. In fact, more than 140,000 people use it each day. It had been under repairs. There was a lot of work being done to this bridge, and it was due to be inspected again after this work was completed. So that had shut down some lanes, which probably saved some lives on Wednesday.
Cammy, have you heard a lot of stories of heroism? Because, you know, anytime you go and cover a disaster, and you've done several, there is often that silver lining of people who behaved magnificently.
Yeah, we've heard so many stories about bystanders who jumped in the water to rescue people, about the first responders who got there and never hesitated for a second, merely jumped in and tried to rescue who they could. We've also heard, on the other hand, which you also hear in these situations, a heart-wrenching stories. The story of a man who had gone into the water in his vehicle, apparently was pinned underneath the debris and partly crushed, and a first responder was able to get to him, but the man knew he wasn't going to make it, and he told this first responder to please say goodbye to his family.
Absolutely heartbreaking. In Minneapolis, CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick. Thank you, Cammy.
Thank you, Dan.
Let's spend some time with Rich Stanek, sheriff of Hennepin County, Minnesota. He was on CBS radio station WCCO with Don Shelby the day after the bridge collapse on how hard it was to look for victims.
It is a very unstable, unsafe environment. You've got part of the bridge still standing. You've got the better part of the bridge laying really across the water, we believe, on the river bottom. The current in the water, the man-made eddies or little whirlpools that have been created, tons of concrete, vehicles in the water.
And so police department's working with the Corps of Engineers to try to figure out how to draw down the pool a little bit to give yourself some working room and maybe stop that current.
We decided to lower that pool about 2 feet. It's anywhere from 10 to 12 to 13 feet about the middle of the river where the bridge span came down. If we lowered a couple feet, that allows us to do some additional recovery efforts and see some of the submerged vehicles and get a better view.
Sheriff Rich Stanek with WCCO's Don Shelby. Two of the divers, Raul Ramos and Shanna Hansen, spoke on the CBS News Early Show with Harry Smith, who asked if there was any visibility as they searched for victims.
No, not at all. You had gas in there, oil. Size of Mississippi River is not the cleanest place.
How dangerous is it under the water then?
I didn't think about it at the time. I guess it was dangerous. We're just doing our job.
What has this last 48 hours been like for you, Shannon?
It's been very difficult to have something, a tragedy like this happen in your city. It's very hard to see. Everyone's dealing with the emotional impact of the people that were involved on the bridge at the time. And then you also have the long-term impact of something of this magnitude happening. So many forms of transportation affected all in one fell blow.
Now the wider issue, bridges with visible corrosion, yet we drive over them every day. CBS News transportation correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The bridges built in the boom years of the Eisenhower era have entered middle age, and thanks to neglect, they're not aging gracefully. 150,000 U.S. bridges are rated structurally deficient or obsolete. That's more than a quarter of the nation's bridges in need of major repairs or replacement.
It's unbelievable the amount of traffic that we experience in this country, much more than 50 years ago. Plus, what's going over them is 10, 20, 30 times heavier.
That's Robert Bernstein, chief executive of Material Technologies. We might also think of our water systems, including dams, our power grid, and remember the steam pipe that exploded in New York City last month, a big hole in Lexington Avenue.
I'm Peter King. The state of the nation's bridges, not great, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers.
In the last report card, bridges got a C.
Joe Tedesco is chair of the Civil and Coastal Engineering Department at the University of Florida. He says nearly a third of those bridges were rated as structurally deficient or functionally obsolete.
That represents nationwide approximately 600,000 bridges.
Like many, Tedesco says governments don't spend enough on maintenance, partly because
not enough decision makers are engineers.
40-year-old bridges shouldn't just collapse.
We normally design for 75 to 100-year life for a bridge or the structural components.
Orlando civil engineer Donald Hammack says bridges are his passion. He says while plenty of older spans are in good shape, there never seems to be enough money to maintain them.
The vast majority of the funding goes towards capacity, you know, building more roads, building more bridges, and maintenance doesn't seem to be up at the front.
Last year, the Transportation Department's Inspector General discovered what many engineers say they already knew.
We are not investing sufficiently in transit and highways to even keep the current system at the current state.
David Schultz is director of the Infrastructure Technology Institute at Northwestern University. He says there's just not enough cash going to maintain the system.
And one of the areas where we have unmet needs is in the area of bridges.
Other experts told CBS News the bridge inspection program is well funded, but overall, to update America's infrastructure could cost $1.6 trillion, over $5,000 per person. Now the Bush administration's viewpoint. Mrs. Bush visited the disaster scene Friday, one day ahead of her husband, the president. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer, what are you hearing?
Dan, the administration is responding to the bridge disaster on several fronts. Experts from the National Transportation Safety Board, the Coast Guard, the Corps of Engineers, and other agencies rushed to the scene. Late Thursday, the day after the disaster, the Federal Highway Administration called on states to inspect all bridges with designs similar to the steel deck truss span that fell into the Mississippi River. But on that same day, White House spokesman Tony Snow brushed aside repeated questions about the need for any sweeping inspections.
This is a unique catastrophe.
Snow pointed to an existing process that required bridge inspections every 2 years, and he emphasized it was up to the states to do those checks and make any repairs.
There's always a temptation to leap to conclusions, to look for a global one-size-fits-all solution. The most important thing is to be responsible, figure out what the facts are. Then you can draw a conclusion that are actually responsive to the facts.
Snow accused reporters of finger-pointing when they asked about plans for any inspection order. By week's end, with mounting congressional pressure and the concerns of engineering experts, the administration also announced plans for a Transportation Department review of bridge security and inspection programs to see if any changes were needed. But the White House stopped short of pledging any massive new highway spending beyond what's needed to repair the devastation in Minneapolis. For the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Peter Mayer at the White House.
That's our special coverage of the bridge disaster in Minneapolis. I'm Dan Ravine.